This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Enter the Trump administration. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Friday, January 20th. Welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
Donald Trump becomes the 45th president of the United States today. What can the nation expect from a businessman as its leader? We'll examine that in about 2 minutes.
Anti-Trump protesters tangle with police outside an event at the National Press Club.
As a lead-in to Trump's address today, a look at the more unusual and important moments in inauguration history.
And how the experts flip the White House from one family to another in breathtaking time.
While everyone's eyes are down on the Capitol as a swearing-in ceremony is happening and the outgoing president is, you know, leaving in a helicopter and the new president has a luncheon and all those sorts of things, the White House is like a Home and Garden TV flip show.
Emily Brown at USA Today on the details involved in the changeover from the Obama White House to the Trump White House. She's here in about 25 minutes. President-elect Trump becomes the actual president today after his swearing-in at noon. He's the first person to be commander-in-chief who's neither held elected office nor had military experience. He arrived in Washington yesterday, laid a ceremonial wreath in Arlington National Cemetery, and attended a concert with thousands of others in front of the Lincoln Memorial. There was also a candlelight dinner at Union Station.
It may rain, it may not rain. I don't care. Doesn't matter. I mean, the truth is, if it really pours, that's okay, because people will realize it's my real hair, and that's okay. It's okay. Might be a mess, but they're going to see that it's my real hair.
The Wall Street Journal says Mr. Trump is eager to demonstrate the changes he's promised, like creating jobs, increasing military spending, cutting taxes, and taking new approaches to some of America's most difficult foreign policy problems. Today's schedule, by the way, swearing in at noon, then the inaugural address, finally a parade. Three inaugural balls are on tap for this evening. Tomorrow, an interfaith prayer service at the National Cathedral. A weekend of protests over the inauguration and presidency of Donald Trump are underway. They began last night in Washington. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Outside an event at the National Press Club, some demonstrators sent off smoke devices. A message projected onto the building read, "Impeach the predatory president." Crowds chanted "Nazi scum" at those who entered. One man was reportedly arrested and charged with conspiracy to commit an assault. Authorities used pepper spray on some protesters. Meanwhile, dozens of groups have been planning for weeks to descend on Inauguration Week. A group called Disrupt J20 wants to disrupt the inauguration itself. And a big protest tomorrow is called the Women's March on Washington. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 9 minutes now after the hour. Well, there are two sides to how most people perceive a businessman taking over the White House today. There are those who say Donald Trump is thumbing his nose at 60 years of tradition and sabotaging the sanctity of the White House. Then there's the thinking that having a business owner and executive as president will lead to some new and improved routines. Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman says the moment might be right for a business leader to take the helm of government. Rick, what did you look at?
Well, we looked at, first of all, his plan to reduce the likelihood of conflicts of interest with regard to his business, his personal business. I should say businesses, because there really are hundreds of different entities under the Trump Organization. This got a lot of criticism from the usual government ethics types, who say the only way Trump can really satisfy the requirement here is to completely sell his company, the Trump Organization. We obviously need to watch this very carefully. But I think most people would say it's just not reasonable to expect Trump to sell the family company that he inherited from his father and he's built for the last 45 years. This sort of just doesn't smell pass the sniff test. And, I think we just need to establish some different standards here, because we've never had a president like Donald Trump who runs a privately owned business the way he does. And it seems like it's rational to actually establish some new standards for a new type of president instead of saying he needs to fit the mold of all these other past presidents that he's not really like.
Yeah, yeah. To that point, too, you do say he's a different kind of outsider. Revisit that.
Yeah, so there are two complications here. The first is that Trump is a business owner in the first place. That's unusual. You have to go way back in time to find anybody who sort of fits that mold. But the other complication is that his company is privately owned. So if you look at some of his nominees, for example, like Rex Tillerson, who was the CEO of ExxonMobil for a long time and just retired from that job, he can satisfy concerns about conflict of interest regarding ExxonMobil simply by selling shares in that company. You know, you just put the shares on the market over a period of time and sell them into the market. Trump can't do that. There's no way for him to easily sell his stake in his company. And his lawyer pointed out, and I think correctly so, that if he were to sell his company, he'd be under such a tight deadline that he'd probably have to sell at fire sale prices. There's no reason we should punish a presidential candidate or an incoming president because his career happens to be in the business world rather than the world of politics.
What
voters said they wanted. They said they're sick of all the usual suspects from politics. They wanted somebody different. So we can't just really sit here and say he doesn't fit the mold of all these other presidents, therefore it's a huge problem on its face. We need to find different standards.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. His piece is called "Everybody Needs to Get Used to a Businessman President." I think certainly some of the things that my friends have mentioned and you pointed out here, kind of bringing this business sensibility to government.
That's what voters want. And the question is, will it work? I think this is an asset for Trump, and it's also a huge challenge for Trump. So in his company, the Trump Organization, he calls the shots. The president obviously is in charge of the federal government. Some say the most powerful person in the free world, but he doesn't call the shots. I mean, he needs legislation from Congress to get major things done. He needs to figure out how to work with people he doesn't disagree with. He needs to figure out how to make concessions. He needs to figure out certain type of political humility. He needs to figure out how to absorb losses without being vindictive. These are things that are actually quite difficult, even for CEOs of public companies, where you have to answer to shareholders and Wall Street analysts. I mean, they sometimes struggle when they have to go into an arena where more consensus is required, and you have to be more willing to compromise. So we will see how well it works. I think the biggest risk for Trump is that he overreaches and he tries to accomplish too many things. I mean, a lot of presidents actually make this mistake, but he's trying to do all kinds of things, and he's not going to succeed on all of them. So we will see how far that the businessman's approach takes it.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman from New York. 14 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Transition seamlessly from presentation to meeting and from work to home with the Dell Latitude 13 7000 series, the laptop that takes care of business. The powerful performance and incredible battery life from this reliable business-class PC featuring Intel Core processors lets small business employees do their best work wherever work takes them. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio. Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday. President-elect Trump is hoping to round out his cabinet, but faces potential delays. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says he expects votes today on retired General James Mattis to lead the Defense Department and retired Marine General John Kelly to lead Homeland Security. Mr. Schumer said the Senate might take up Kansas Congressman Mike Pompeo's CIA confirmation today, but a floor debate could push the vote to Monday.
Republicans were simply trying to jam through these nominees out of sight of the American people. They're not really proud of this cabinet. And so they want the hearings to be as quick, as short, and as bunched up as they can be.
Sean Spicer is the incoming White House press secretary.
There's a reason that most of them haven't landed a glove on them. It's their quality and understanding of the issues and challenges that we face, and more importantly, the solutions that Donald Trump is going to have them offer. It's something that most people who are not partisan Senate Democrats recognize are just truly amazing individuals.
Confirmation votes are also possible today for Elaine Chao, the pick for Transportation Department, and Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke for Interior. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
President-elect Trump says he was elected to the White House because people wanted real change, and he says he's confident he'll be able to unite the country behind him. Trump addressed supporters on the eve of his inauguration at the end of a concert on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Later, he attended a dinner where he touted his cabinet picks.
Leave. The likes of which has never been appointed. There's never been a cabinet like this. I will say the other side is going absolutely crazy. They're going crazy.
Meanwhile, protesters and supporters clashed outside a pro-Trump event. Hundreds of protesters gathered outside the National Press Club, which was hosting the Deplorable, a play on a campaign remark by Hillary Clinton. Protesters booed any time presumed ballgoers in suits, tuxedos, or dresses came in or out of the event. Imprisoned former House Speaker Dennis Hastert wants one of his sexual abuse victims to return $1.7 million in hush money. A court filing this week in an ongoing civil case is a counterclaim to the victim's breach of contract lawsuit that he filed last year, arguing that Hastert still owed him part of a $3.5 million hush money deal. Hastert is serving a 15-month sentence for violating banking laws. Authorities in North Dakota arrested 21 protesters opposed to the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline late Wednesday during what was one of the most serious clashes between protesters and law enforcement since a move by the Obama administration last month effectively halted the pipeline's construction. Authorities used pepper spray and smoke canisters against the protesters after the protesters started tire fires and threw projectiles. Crammed into a dome atop a Hawaii volcano with one bathroom, six scientists will spend 8 months munching on mostly freeze-dried foods with a rare treat of Spam and have only their small sleeping quarters to retreat to for individual space. The simulated stay on Mars with a carefully selected crew of researchers embarked on a mission yesterday to gain insight into the psychological toll a similar real-life voyage will have on astronauts. It's part of a NASA-funded human behavior experiment that could help the space agency send humans to the red planet in the next 20 years.
8 months in this environment?
Mm-hmm.
So 240 days, roughly?
I'd last about 3 hours.
Yeah, on night one, atop the volcano, when you hear that rumbling noise, I'd be like, Jen, what's that? Get out of here! Oh, man. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Good Friday to you. Here's some good news on raising our kids. Bankrate.com says a new survey finds that raising a child is about half as expensive as people think. How does this happen? Here's Klaus Bell, data analyst at Bankrate.com. Klaus, give us some numbers.
The average estimate was a little over $24,000. And, you know, coincidentally, we had the USDA come out with their most recent estimate of the cost of raising a child. And their number was just a little under $13,000. So as you can see, Americans think that, you know, raising a child up to age one costs about twice what the government says it does.
All right, so why the discrepancy?
Well, there's a couple of ways to read this. You know, one, you can say that maybe Americans just aren't that well connected, you know, when it comes to the cost of actually raising a baby. You know, maybe they are not good at estimating the cost of things like formula and, you know, diapers and onesies and all the things that you have to buy, right? And they are thinking more about the cost of what it takes for an adult to get through a year, right? They're maybe thinking about what they spend on cost of living. And we actually had age groups that you would expect to be pretty far removed from the current cost of parenting, you know, folks age 71 and above, and also younger millennials under 25. They tended to give the highest estimate of what it was going to cost to raise that baby. So, you know, they were over $30,000 a year, each of their estimates. So you can see that, you know, maybe there's some disconnection there from what the actual cost of parenthood is. But there's actually another way that you can read this as well. The USDA doesn't consider two pretty big costs of parenting in their estimate. And they're very transparent about this. It's just outside the scope of what they do. And one of those is college. You know, they're saying we're looking at the cost of raising a child up to age 18, so that doesn't include college.
Oh,
well,
wow.
You know, most people who have paid for college will say those costs begin much earlier because you're actually saving ahead
sure.
of time. So you have to budget for that.
We're speaking with Klaus Bell, data analyst at Bankrate.com. They've got a survey entitled Raising a Baby Costs Less Than You Think. Some of the biggest costs, though, that we face, say, on a day-to-day or, I don't know, month-to-month period would be what? Things like childcare, I guess, maybe before they get to school?
Yeah, childcare is a huge one. You know, for people who don't end up staying home with the child, that can easily be, you know, over $1,000 a month, depending on where you live. And then you have things like, obviously, medical care. You know, kids go to the doctor a lot, so that's going to be something that you have to pay for. Something that people don't think about a lot, housing costs tend to go up. People have to make room for baby, and so that means higher rent, higher mortgages, right?
Thanks, Klaus. Klaus Bell, data analyst at Bankrate.com. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Not available in all states.
Hey, you two, what brings you to the mall?
We're just here checking on our robot.
Your robot?
Yeah, our recent Irby's Froyo robot. Diane and I became franchisees last month.
And couldn't be happier. It serves premier frozen yogurt creations to customers in 60 seconds. And the yogurt is delicious.
Yep, our customers absolutely love it. That's it over there.
Whoa, that's incredible. People really do love your Froyo robot. So, you own this?
Sure do. Reese and Irby's Froyo robots are available across the country, and it's super easy. Reese and Irby's provided us with everything we needed. They even help you secure amazing locations. Movie theaters, grocery stores, college campuses, theme parks. They make any location a sensation.
And everyone loves frozen yogurt. That's incredible. How do I get a Froyo robot of my own?
You just go to froyorobots.com and enter promo code 8888. But hurry, because locations and robots are going fast.
Froyo.
Yeah, froyorobots.com. Promo code 8888.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, January 20th, Inauguration Day. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump becomes president today at around noon. Mexican drug lord El Chapo has arrived in New York City to face charges. He's due in Brooklyn court today. Italian rescue crews say they found at least a handful of survivors in that hotel buried by an avalanche. Actor Miguel Ferrer of NCIS Los Angeles has died of throat cancer at 61. Russell Westbrook's average of a triple-double is not good enough to be an NBA All-Star starter. And the lighter and more important moments in inauguration history. That story in about 20 minutes. When Donald Trump walks into the White House for the first time as president this afternoon, his suits will be hanging in his closet, his personal photos will be displayed on perfectly placed tables, and his toothbrush will be near his favorite brand of toothpaste in his bathroom. USA Today senior mobile editor Emily Brown says it's part of a well-rehearsed and lightning-fast changeover from the Obama White House. Emily, what did you find out?
I found out that the White House is a zoo on Inauguration Day. And I guess, you know, we would assume that anyway. There's a lot of ceremonies and just a lot of things going on that day all over Washington. But while everyone's eyes are down on the Capitol as a swearing-in ceremony is happening and the outgoing president is, you know, leaving in a helicopter and the new president has a luncheon and all those sorts of things, the White House is like a Home and Garden TV flip show. And they are packing up and moving out all of the outgoing president's and his family's belongings and moving in all of the incoming president, in this case Donald Trump, all of his belongings with his family's things as well.
Boy, now are the hand carts like passing on the ramps at the same time, or do the Obamas have to be completely out altogether before this can start? How does that work?
Well, it sounded like a little bit of both, but it's very organized. It's very planned and timed. I've heard the words ballet, you know, used to describe it. Really, they are moving out the Obama's things because furniture has to come out, rugs have to come out. So before the Trump's things can come in, they have to get all of these big items out of the way. But there are, you know, outgoing moving vans on one side of the property and incoming moving vans on the other side of the property.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm picturing, like, ants going in and out of the anthill, you know, just a steady stream from what it sounds like, but very detailed and planned in advance.
Any idea how many people are actually involved in this moving process?
Well, so what I heard from former Chief Usher Stephen Rochon is that it's kind of an all-hands-on-deck sort of thing. So typically, he said when he was in charge of the transition, when Bush 43 moved out and Obama moved in, his staff was about 95 people. And then they're calling in all of those people who have ever worked there who already have security clearance. And that's a really big, important piece of the puzzle. You know, you're not just calling any random movers that day. These are people who have been to the White House. Maybe they've helped work at a state dinner. You know, they might be butlers or housekeepers or something like that. But they have clearance, they're familiar with the White House, and they need their help that day. So you might not be serving in your typical role, but if you have served there before, it's likely that you're working on that day as well.
Jeez, and are these people like actually putting clothes in drawers and, I don't know, lining up shoes in the closet and stuff? Like that much detail?
They are. Every detail. Literally down to the toothpaste and the toothbrush on the bathroom counter.
Wow.
When the Obamas leave in the morning, the house is going to look pretty much the same way it's always looked for them. And there's a lot of caution with how things are treated because they don't want the outgoing president and the outgoing first family to feel like they're being pushed out. But at the same time, as soon as they're gone, their things are out of there, their new things are moved in. And when the Trumps walk in after the parade, after the swearing-in ceremony and after the parade, they are going to see things. They're going to see their things. They're going to see their toothbrush and their clothes in the drawers, their shoes, you know, where the shoes go, and the furniture that they picked out, the rugs and things like that.
Wow. All right. So they picked out that stuff?
There's a lot of pre-planning. So someone from the Trump's staff works with the White House and the curators there, and they might have items from, you know, their personal items that are moving in, new items that they've purchased for the home that are moving in. And then the other thing are the historic items that have been in the White House before and are in basically this undisclosed location, a warehouse full of historic White House furniture and belongings, and that's at their disposal as well. So they are planning which items they want to come in and where they want them to go, and the house is going to be as complete as possible. Now, everything, of course, can't be done, but it'll be as complete as possible when they walk in for the first time after the swearing-in ceremony and parade.
Thanks, Emily. Emily Brown, USA Today Senior Mobile Editor. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Inauguration Day Friday. Time now for our weekly look at the people, places, and things we've been searching for the most online the past few days. And we're joined live by Charlotte Smith, Google Trends expert. This is her usual spot on Fridays. Morning, Charlotte. No surprise, inauguration, right?
Good morning, Gordon. No surprise at all. For those of you who have been living under a rock for the last year or so, Donald J. Trump will officially be sworn in as President of the United States today. We saw a lot of people coming to Google for more information about him and one of our country's oldest traditions, the ceremony itself. If you'd like to tune in, it's live streamed on a number of networks, NBC, CBS, Telemundo, C-SPAN, but also YouTube this year. Something interesting, though, about the inauguration is while everyone's eyes are downtown and Capitol Hill,
right,
lots of people don't know that at 4 a.m., movers started officially moving the Obamas out of the White House and are deep cleaning the entire place by the time the inauguration ends.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think it's like a five-hour turnover or something like that. It's remarkable. We just did a feature on that a short while ago. I can't imagine what that's like. The White House is like 133 rooms with 32 bathrooms or something like that. Why is NASA making news?
NASA is making news because they're doing a wacky experiment. They sent a group of researchers to a volcano in Hawaii to study human behavior in isolation to prepare for a trip to Mars by the 2030s, which is interesting. You know, this time there are four men and two women taking part in this particular experiment. It's kind of like real world on Mars.
Yeah, 8 months they're going to be there on top of this volcano. Four men and two women?
Four men and two women.
Is that like, you think this is like a Big Brother type thing that could be shaking up here? Or shaping up, rather?
I don't know. I'd like to see, though.
Isolation, you know, four men, two women. Golden State Warriors trending. How come?
The Golden State Warriors are trending because they beat the Cavaliers 126-91 on MLK Day. You know, that is the top trending search in all of California for the past day.
Wow.
And Nevada, California, and Hawaii are the only states searching for Golden State Warriors over the inauguration.
Hawaii, really? Hawaii loves its NBA. I didn't realize that. By the way, this giant alligator video, real or not real?
Yes.
I have my doubts.
It is totally real. For those of you who don't know, there's a 12-foot-long alligator that was filmed in Florida. It was so big, it actually had to be confirmed that this was neither a dinosaur nor a hoax. The largest alligator on record in America is actually larger than the one in the video, measuring 14 feet, 9.2 inches, which is terrifying.
Charlotte, I just want to be clear. You have no doubts. This is totally real.
No.
Totes real.
It's terrifying, but very, very real.
It is a fascinating beast for sure. For some reason, the skeptic in me says there's something fishy about that video. Thanks, Charlotte. Charlotte Smith, Google Trends expert, with us live this morning. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, on the eve of his inauguration, President-elect Trump was already thinking about his re-election. At a dinner last night, Trump touted the previously Democratic counties he was able to flip in November's election. He then told campaign donors that he'll get re-elected because he and his cabinet will do so well.
The next time, 4 years from now, the next time, we're going to win the old-fashioned way.
Meanwhile, farther north in New York City, actors Robert De Niro, Sally Field, and Mark Ruffalo join hundreds of other protesters outside a Trump hotel for a demonstration organizers said was meant to energize those concerned about the Republican president-elect's policies. The mayors of Minneapolis and New York also attended. Tomorrow, tens of thousands of protesters will fill the nation's capital for the Women's March on Washington. A four-hour rally will feature speeches by Angela Davis, Gloria Steinem, and the mothers of Trayvon Martin and Eric Garner, as well as musical performances by artists including Janelle Monáe, Maxwell, and the Indigo Girls. Similar marches are planned in more than 600 other cities and towns around the world. Six people have been found alive in an Italian hotel 2 days after it was buried in an avalanche. Rescuers say the six had been discovered buried under snow but have not yet been extracted. At least four people have been confirmed dead and about 20 are still missing as the rescue effort continues in difficult conditions. Teams have been working at the scene for more than 24 hours and temperatures well below zero. Mexican cartel kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman is expected to appear in a court in New York today, shortly after his surprise extradition from Mexico ended a decade-long career in drug trafficking, jail breaks, and murder. Guzman is set to appear for an arraignment at the federal court in Brooklyn. He arrived from Mexico in a small jet last night. And if you don't care for play-by-play announcers, here's something you might want to check out. TNT will broadcast 5 upcoming NBA doubleheaders with only former players talking about what they see. The players-only games will feature Derek Fisher, Grant Hill, Greg Anthony, and Kevin McHale, among others.
What about Charles Barkley? We can't have him weighing in.
He's not on the list that
he
I saw.
He needs to be on the list. Can you send a note to TNT?
He talks enough. We need somebody new.
That's true. There's no shortage of airtime for Sir Charles. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. So Donald Trump will be sworn in today as the 45th president of the United States. It will mark the 58th inauguration ceremony in the nation's history. There have been some unusual moments during the first 57. Mike.com put together a list. Bill Clinton, of course, inexplicably had Elvis impersonators, it says, at his 93 inauguration. And Andrew Jackson evidently hosted an Inauguration Day open house in 1829 that nearly destroyed the White House with heavy drinking and demolished furniture. Lighter moments, Sasha Obama yawning during her father's second inauguration speech. Serious moments, Abraham Lincoln addressed slavery and called to bind up the nation's wounds against the backdrop of the Civil War. JFK urged Americans to ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And when FDR declared that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Donald Trump will be sworn in at noon Eastern today. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.